What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lynn. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Today in Influence, I meet the founder of homegrown cryptocurrency exchange Bcoin, Davy Go. Established just last year as a one-stop exchange platform for all investors, Bcoin says it now has an average daily trading volume of $30 million. Bcoin has welcomed 10 major cryptocurrencies on board. It is looking to launch altcoins for investors to provide wider trading portfolios for investors. Based in Singapore, Bcoin aims to be a single entry point for crypto assets for regional investors. It is also working to integrate mainstream adoption of cryptocurrencies across Southeast Asia by working with e-payment providers. So instead of a debit or credit card, could you soon be paying with cryptocurrency as easily as cash here in Singapore? Let's put that question to Davy Go. So tell us, how mainstream is the adoption of cryptocurrencies, at least here in Singapore?
It's not mainstream yet. I think there are opportunities for us to educate the market and make it into mainstream over time.
So I understand that you are looking to work with e-payment providers in Singapore. You are in discussions. How far are you in terms of timelines of being able for us to use cryptocurrency as perhaps we do cash or credit?
Within the next 5 days, because we're already tied up with them and now we are testing it. So it should be available within the next 5 days.
5 days. Wow. Incredible. Okay, help us understand Bcoin as a business model. What does it do?
Bcoin is a global financial market platform that empowers efficient cryptocurrency trading at a very low cost. We are trusted for our stability, security, and scalability. At the same time, Bcoin connects all the global institutional investors, blockchain experts, and raise capital for SME on a single platform. At the same time, Bcoin is a Southeast Asia blockchain education hub. We have a fabulous training hub in Singapore. We use it for knowledge sharing and education, collaborating with various education institutions and forward-looking organizations to make it simple for the man on the street to understand what is a Bitcoin, what is a blockchain, and the exciting new possibility of the tokenized economy.
Okay, so let's talk about that second use of cryptocurrency. First use we talked about as a payment in terms of, and you're tying up with e-payment providers in Singapore. The second use of cryptocurrencies as assets in their own right and people trading them in the hope of making a profit. What are your trading volumes in 1 year, across 1 year, say about mainstream acceptance? Do you think investors here are increasingly open to cryptocurrency, or is there still a lack of clarity, perhaps even hostility to cryptocurrency?
The interesting part is today alone, we have 5 trading workshops at our office today. Uh-huh. And we have many of the office crowd, professional crowd, coming to our trading workshop. And the thing is, there are a lot of curiosity, more than animosity, I would say. Mm. Everybody's keen to learn how to invest in this liquid asset. So I'm very pleased to share with you and your radio audience that the majority of the people who attend our workshop, all of them sign up on our platform today. So I would say curiosity supersedes animosity.
Okay. So what do you say to beginners who are worried about the reliability of cryptocurrency trading?
The good thing is that our platform is a very user-friendly interface platform. We have professional trading charts as well as a mobile app. People can use it to trade on the go, right? And at the same time, we have global partner like Mosaic. They provide Bloomberg-like data information to our user so that they can make use of informed information to do their business call or investment call.
And you have a trading fee?
Yes, ours is probably one of the most competitive in the market. We only charge a 0.2% of trading fee.
And is that the same on your mobile site as it is on your website? So you have an app, right?
Yes,
and exactly. It's already up and running?
It is up and running and is trading at the same time.
Okay. So today you announced a range of initiatives responding to concerns raised by stakeholders, including retail investors, businesses, and regulators. So what are some of the concerns and what are some of the corresponding initiatives that Bcoin has to offer?
Yes, let me highlight some of the concerns. Typically, some of the concerns highlighted by the retail investors are that Bcoin is unsafe, is risky, and is complex to participate, as an investment product.
Mm.
And what Bitcoin tried to do, we have invested heavily on our infrastructure as well as human talent to do education as well as education. It's very important for us. We don't want to onboard investor without giving him the tool as well as the information to make the right investment call. So what Bitcoin has done is that we have created an inclusive ecosystem where our community can easily communicate, share the knowledge about what's happening in the marketplace and what's happening, the most exciting blockchain project being put on board on the exchange, right? This constant knowledge sharing address the concern that the investor has and bring them more into line of what is available in the market space.
You say your app protects investors' funds. How does it do this?
Okay, we have three forms of security. First of all, we have the hardware security, we have the software security, and as well as we have the financial security. The hardware security is whereby we have a hot and cold wallet. Software security is whereby we have very advanced risk control technology, including stringent security protection, multi-signature cryptocurrency wallet, offline capital management, as well as multiple layers of security measure. The financial security, we make sure that we have a China wall between our company working capital as well as the invested capital. At the same time, we buy insurance for our hot wallet as well.
Okay, what do you say to investors who want to know more about the security of your cryptocurrency exchange? In 2014, Tokyo-based cryptocurrency exchange Mt. Gox became the target of the largest Bitcoin hack ever. Has Bitcoin ever been breached? And how does it look to protect itself from security breaches?
Let me put it in a more simplistic term. 80% of our investor capital is stored offline. Right. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have three geographic locations that we store the encryption code.
Mm-hmm.
So at any point in time, if you want to, and it's not accessible by Wi-Fi or the internet, it's kept offline. So literally, you have to go to three locations to steal the encryption decryption code in order for you to access our cold wallet.
Right.
So 80% of your capital is stored offline and 20% is stored online with the respective multi-layer of firewall and security measures that we put in place. On top of that, on the internet in connected wallet, we also buy insurance as well. So that gives you the sense of security.
Right. So cryptocurrency, we know, is not banned in Singapore, but MAS has said it will be imposing anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism requirements on intermediaries that buy, sell or exchange virtual currencies, as set out in the AML-CFT regulatory framework. What, in your opinion, should regulators take note of when trying to navigate this new emerging tokenized economy, which is decentralized?
Yeah, so what's happening is that I think most of the market players, right, adopt a bank-level type compliant policy and a KYC, know your client onboarding process, right? So the market players are trying to do the right thing, right? And I totally respect our regulators in Singapore. They understand that the market needs time to evolve, and stipulating regulation too early may distort the market accordingly. And so I respect our regulators in Singapore tremendously for making the right decision to let the market develop on its own before they stipulate the regulation at the right time. The market players expect regulation to come in, but they are preparing for it. At the same time, I think it's a good time to let the market evolve to a certain maturity, because in terms of market size, the cryptocurrency market is relatively small compared to the other established markets.
So the number and the forms of cryptocurrencies is growing internationally. You have 10 cryptocurrencies on board, a BTC, BCH, ETH, Ethereum among them. How do you decide which to include in the onboarding?
We assess them in terms of liquidity as well as investor preferences. So if we see in the marketplace that investor prefers a particular currency, from the feedback that we have and the market study that we do, we will onboard the currency accordingly.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about yourself. You spent 12 years at DBS as head of product management for enterprise banking. You founded Bitcoin in 2017. What was the opportunity that you saw then?
what I see is that there's tremendous opportunities to support SME because currently, if you look at today's market space, a tremendous amount of percentage of SME doesn't get the funding that they like to access, right? And right now, this so-called cryptocurrency exchange provide a crowdfunding platform to support a lot of small cap companies that's not able to access capital. As we all know, SME provides about 65-70% of employment in any economy. By supporting SME through a crowdfunding platform, it works well for the economic development of any nation.
So Bcoin aims to be a single entry point for crypto assets for regional investors. What does this mean for investors?
What it means is that Bcoin, because of its education process, we want to share information so that investor makes the right investment call on the right trading or ICO investment platform they invest in. So we have a lot of tools and information that we have on our platform that we want to reach out to clients or investor.
So are you
so
saying
that you make the right investment call?
Your app would be suitable for investors of differing levels?
Yes. In fact, we have a large trading platform who does $1 billion trade a month in other market. They're happy to work with us to push some of the bigger trades to our exchange as well. So we have the big institutional investor as well as we have the retail investor on our platform.
And why did Bcoin choose Singapore as a base?
Myself is a Singaporean and this is my home. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, again,
I mean, we know Singaporeans who have chosen to list their cryptocurrencies in Japan, for example, where it's said to be quite progressive.
Yeah, so we're starting off with Singapore as our hub, but we will expand to other markets in a relatively short time, right? It's a very scalable business model.
Mm.
And I was just in a meeting earlier with one of my counterparts in UK, and he's happy to be our ambassador for UK. The business is very scalable because the platform can be accessed anywhere in the world.
Right.
And using Singapore as a hub with its good brand name of Singapore company, with its good corporate governance structure, I think that will help us to be global in a relatively short time.
Okay, David, we've got a question from our listener, Ken Lau, who asks, hi, I'd like to know if Bcoin is MAS regulated an entity.
Bcoin is registered in Singapore, so it follows into the Singapore corporate reporting governance in terms of ACRA, as well as the tax authority in Singapore as well. Because the market is relatively small, MAS is not regulating it yet, unless provided it's a security token. If it's viewed as a security token and it's listed on an exchange, then everything has to follow the compliance and regulation of security accordingly.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a tour of Bcoin. And very nice meeting you, Davey. Thank you for being on Influence.